Right, now here's a subject that we started talking about yesterday, and I wanted to continue talking about today. More than 70 doctors, academics, public health experts have called for a ban on tackling in rugby games in schools because of the risk of serious injury. Now, some of you, maybe from a traditional rugby-playing background, might be absolutely astonished at this. You might be flabbergasted that it's even being suggested. But this group wants a move to touch rugby because they say there is a high risk of serious injury among the under-18s from playing rugby, and they've said schools should move to non-contact rugby. One of the signatories, Professor Eric Anderson from the University of Winchester, is back with us this morning. So spell this out to us, Eric. What's the research saying?
Well, let me give you an example of some of the most recent research. Researchers at Ulster followed 825 school playing rugby players for the course of one academic year. And in that time, there were over 400 injuries, of which 200 were so severe that the child had to miss rugby for a month. There were also, and this is most worrying, 81 diagnosed concussions. Now, we know that concussions are very difficult to diagnose. So the fact that 10% of the children who played school rugby for one academic year were diagnosed with concussion, and knowing that concussion requires weeks out of both rugby and out of school, this means that the sport is not only endangering children, but it's also removing them from the classroom.
But doesn't any sport endanger children?
No, not to this extent. So one of the things that the tropes that the RFU is pulling out is you know, preposterous statements like, you could get hurt skiing. Of course, skiing's not part of the national curriculum. There are five sports that have been targeted by the government, competitive team sports, for participation for children, and RFU is trying to expand its provision of rugby within school settings. Now, I'm a researcher of sport. I've done lots of research on rugby and show that rugby has many fine benefits. Fantastic game in many ways. It's also been an incredibly inclusive game. Rugby, for example, has been at the forefront of including sexual minorities in sport, of spreading the sport to women. So our issue is not with rugby per se. Our issue is with the compelled tackling of rugby in school sports. Now, you have to remember, you know, the guests you'll probably have on after me and the guests I've been dealing with all day yesterday are ex-professional rugby players or people who are heavily invested in rugby. There are school children across the country who are compelled against their will and because of the homeschool contract, against the will of their parents, to play contact rugby in school settings. Now, we should not be compelling children into this highly injurious sport. Well, are there injuries with other sports? Of course.
Well, kids play
nowhere
kids,
near rugby.
Kids box. They're boxing
kids
clubs
do not
for
box
children.
In school system. They do not box in school system.
No, but they do box outside the school system in youth clubs
not,
and
we are
youth organizations.
We are not trying to ban tackle rugby outside of school system. Children who desire to self-select into contact rugby that has, you know, tackling in the scrum as part of the game can do so.
Yeah, but
so as part of the RFU community.
But Eric, we're into a different argument there, aren't we? But a relevant discussion, which is, you know, even for what you're saying, children self-selecting, a child might not have the capacity to understand when they are self-selecting. So therefore, it is relevant what kids are doing outside of school as much as in.
It is absolutely relevant. It is a different issue, and it is one I agree on, that children do not have the cognitive capacity to make long-term decisions about their health. So, for example, we don't allow children to do drugs. We don't allow children to smoke. We don't allow children to drink alcohol. We don't allow children to have sex. We don't even allow children to vote because we fear that they don't have the cognitive capacities to understand complex systems, histories, and the future. So whether children have the right to play contact rugby in community leagues, there is an argument to be made there. But that's not the argument we're making right now.
Can you explain to us the dangers of concussion?
Yeah, so the dangers of concussion are multiple and faceted. Basically, if you put a yolk inside an egg and you move it around a little bit, it doesn't slam up against the skull. But if you shake it too hard, it certainly does. There's a misnomer out there that helmets, scrum caps will protect the individual from concussion. That's simply not the case. I've also been talking, all day yesterday.
Sorry, how is it not the case? I thought that's so the whole point of a helmet, when kids, again, are cycling and they wear a helmet.
In football, in boxing, in fact, in the next Olympics, men will not be wearing helmets in boxing. Because what it does is it spreads the impact across the surface of the skull and prevents fracture. but it doesn't stop the brain from sloshing inside of its head. There's nothing you can do to stop that, unless, of course, you had, you know, a 10-foot helmet or something. So the fact that children wear helmets, as soon as you put a helmet on a child, they feel more invincible, and adults, they feel more invincible, and they're more likely to use their head. So even in the American sport of football, helmets don't prevent concussion. And all you have to do is look to the American sport of football for that. I mean, you know, how many professional football players or NFL players are concussed despite the fact that they're wearing these very large helmets. So that's a misnomer that there's protective gear. Now, RFU is concerned about concussion, and rightfully they have campaigns, head case to remove children from sport when they've been concussed. But at the point of concussion, you've already achieved brain damage. You've already achieved traumatic brain damage and has serious long-term implications. And the more brain damage you receive, the more concussions you receive, the more damage that's caused.
But surely you can have concussion, brain damage as you're describing it, after a week or two, you're fine again. There's no long-lasting effect.
They're recommending longer, and the answer to that is no. We don't know how many concussions, and it's not just concussions. It's not just concussions we're worried about. It's the sub-maximal level hits. So it's the repeated blows. So like NFL players, it's not just the concussions. So for example, we have the brain of an 18-year-old in Boston Brain Bank who has no history of concussion, but was an American football player, so took repeated sub-blow, you know, thousands of hits throughout the seasons of play, and he was diagnosed with chronic traumatic encephalopathy upon his death. So we're very worried about the impact that these blows, subconcussive levels of blows, as well as the concussive blows, have on children's brains who are more vulnerable than adult brains. And teaching proper tackling techniques is important to reduce concussion, but it doesn't eliminate it. And all we have to do for that example is look to the most well-qualified tacklers in the world, professional rugby players, and it's quite obvious from anybody who's watched Six Nations or any other rugby match that, you know, concussions still occur.